Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage. And maybe God has, we've brought into the show to talk about fostering, adoption, fertility treatments, all of the different ways where God is building your family. And it looked different than you thought it would.
Yeah.
And we just want to encourage you to cling to Christ because He is enough. And He is so good and so trustworthy.
That's right. So on that topic of talking about other things like adoption and foster care, that is what our guest is on to talk about today. And neither of us have met her personally. She's not from Mississippi.
Well, she wrote a book.
So she wrote kind of a big book. Deal. And so she is on today to tell us about her story and then about her book. So I'm excited to have her on. Her name is Sharon Aikman. Miss Sharon, are you there?
I am. Glad to be here today.
Yes, we're so glad to have you. We would love for you to just start kind of telling us how you fit into, this category of what we talk about on our show. What does your story look like?
Well, just as you said in your introduction, that we have to trust the will and the plan of God, and that we don't always know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes God answers our prayers by changing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really my life story.
I love that because, I mean, really it's become a lot of people's story like that, as long as we're willing to let those prayers change and those desires change to, you know, what the Lord sees fit. So what does your story look like? How did you get started out in this?
Sure. So for me, as far back as I can remember in my entire life, I always wanted to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
That was just how it was going to be. And I think culturally, the majority of little girls think about what their husband's going to be and what their family's going to look like when they grow up. And we think it's just a natural occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that doesn't happen, it can become very painful as you pursue that. And that's what happened to me. I started actively trying to become a mom and then saw that that wasn't happening. And as you start down the journey, it's like, oh, this friend's pregnant. That friend just had a baby. You know, you see this happening all around you, and yet it's not happening for you.
Mm.
And all of these doubts creep in. Well, what's wrong with me? Is there something medically wrong? And so you can start down that journey, which also can be very, very long, very painful, a lot of unknown. And that's what happened to me, is as the days became weeks and weeks became months, and now it's a couple of years with no conception, started seeking fertility treatment. And we found out I had a whole lot of issues physically. You know, and so then there was a long time with various treatments and various pursuit. We even did IVF and actually lost quadruplets.
Oh, wow.
IVF. So that was devastation for us. We had realized that my body, I had PCOS and endometriosis. And for some reason, my body makes an incredible amount of adhesion to scar tissue, and it just was not ever going to be physically possible for me. And when we lost the quadruplets, I was just at a breaking point. And during this whole process, I became a Christian.
Wow.
And I started learning. Yeah, I wasn't even a Christian when we started. I didn't become a Christian until 25. So I had been, for about 5 years into my journey, without God. So
wow, that's hard.
Once I became a Christian, it was like, well, God gives you the desires of your heart according to the word. Well, the greatest desire of my heart was to be a mama. And then what about Sarah and Abraham? Oh my goodness, look at that. You know, in their old age, and they, even before they had children, the Lord told Abraham that his seed would be more than the stars in the heavens, and that all families in the earth would be blessed by him. Well, how is that possible? They didn't even have children at that time. So I began to go to the word. I just kept digging deeper and deeper, and Rachel and Rebecca and Hannah and Samson's mother, it just went on and on, of women who experienced infertility biblically. And, you know, the word says God is no respecter of persons. So I'm like, okay, the Lord loves me the same, right? So then I started really standing on promises of God. And then in a very intimate prayer time with the Lord, he spoke to me and told me that a pregnancy would come with much affliction. Would I be willing to accept that? And I said, Lord, I would go through anything as long as you're with me. And he impressed upon my spirit, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so I was like, okay, I got up from that thinking, I have a promise from the Lord. So I held on to that very tightly and went ahead and just grew deeper with the Lord, more scripture, was very active in my church, and was also pursuing a nursing degree at the same time. And my only other really childhood dream was to be a nurse and a mom. And as time passed, it just wasn't possible physically for me. And the Lord started maneuvering some things that were causing me to look at adoption. And so we started going down that path. And there's just so many. There's so many details. It's hard to, you know, put it all into one. But the Lord, we actually had a private adoption. A woman sought me out. I do have all of these details in a book that I wrote, my book, Childless No More. And when Noah came, my oldest son, my firstborn baby, she sought me out. It was a private adoption. I was able to go through the last 3 months of the pregnancy with her, go to the doctor's appointments, the ultrasound. I was present when he was born. I got to cut the cord when he was born, and I actually stimulated lactation and breastfed.
Oh, my word.
Wow. That's
amazing.
You talk about bonding.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, it was never my dream that it would be an adoption. It was never my dream that it wouldn't be. You know, I just assumed I would have babies. But what happened before Noah arrived is I turned 35. So, you know, this has been a long time. It's now been 15 years
of this
and growing in the Lord. And one night at the altar, I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm 35, right? And my clock is ticking, you know? And by now, the first 10 years of my journey, I didn't know anyone else who was going through infertility. No, I had never heard anyone else talk about it.
Man, that's so isolating.
It's so isolating. And for me, it kind of became a place of shame where people would say, oh, do you and your husband have children? No, we don't. Oh, well, why not? And I felt like less of a woman, if that makes sense. I felt like I was broken physically. And I was certainly broken spiritually because I didn't understand what was happening. Lord, I love you. I'm walking with you to the best of my known ability, and I don't understand why my womb's closed. What did I ever do? And, you know, there are moments when you will sit and think, what did I do that I'm being punished so severely? That's not our God. It isn't. But in that moment, your mind can become a playground for negativity and for attack. To where you think, oh, this is your fault. You would never be a good mom anyway. The Lord knew you couldn't do this. Just all these things. And I didn't have anybody to talk to. That's why it's so important to me now. Let's talk about it. And I love that you talk about it because it's so rare to just hear a conversation about this struggle for couples. And statistically, one in six couples struggled with some form of infertility, and I knew nobody for 10 years, nobody. And so finally, our church secretary and our pastor's daughter were both struggling with infertility, so the three of us had such a close bond. And when I was 35, I had had a promise from God, and I was praying at the altar one night, and our pastor's daughter was just wailing. She was just wailing, and the grief you could hear in her voice was heart-wrenching, and I knew that's the cry for a child. Mm-hmm. I know that cry. Mm. Like Hannah, I know that cry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I was praying for her, I just said, Lord, I know you gave me a promise some years back, and I don't know what happened. I don't know where I missed you, because I'm sure it was me that missed, you know. And I said, but I'm going to ask you, like Elijah passed the mantle to Elisha, if you will give my promise to her. I can't, I had had a mother's love for her. Please don't let her hurt like this any longer. And I said, God, I will never again ask you for a child. I will accept that you know things I don't know, and that you see things I can't see, and there is a reason for this. My salvation is not predicated on you giving me what I want.
Wow.
I'm going to love you, and I'm going to serve you. And I promised the Lord, I made a covenant with him. I said, I will mother everyone you put in my life for the rest of my life. I don't care if they're 2 or 92. If they need a mama, send them to me. And I said, I'm letting go of this. And I prayed that over this young woman. And when I stood up and walked away, there was this, it was really an exquisite mix of relief and pain all at once. Something about just saying, no matter what your will is, Lord, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept this as your will, and I'm going to be okay. It was painful, but there was a relief in letting it go, truly laying it at the cross.
Right.
And I will have you know, 4 days later is when the pregnant woman sought me out.
Oh, my
with
goodness.
With my firstborn baby.
What? Wow. I have chills.
4 days later.
Oh, my word.
And that's what I mean by saying sometimes God answers your prayer by changing it. I had a promise from God, and I was holding on to it, I think, so tightly that I couldn't allow him to move and bring it to fruition. And once I completely allowed the Lord to move, my very greatest desire of my heart walked right through the door, right through the door. And it was beautiful. And to go through that pregnancy and knowing this is a child of promise and this is the physical manifestation of the promise God had given me some years before, it was breathtaking. I still look at him. He's almost 24 years old. And I just still can't believe sometimes that this is what an answered prayer looks like.
Wow. You know?
And it still brings me great joy, and I get teary when I talk about it, but it's just such an emotional and spiritual experience that the Lord, once I let my promise die, that God brought it to life.
Now, Sharon, that is so powerful. And the conversation that you had with God is so personal. It reminds me of moments in my journey. And it reminds me of a lot of people that we've had on this show that have had that feeling of, Lord, I thought you spoke to me. I thought you gave me this promise. And then how do we, you know, overcome those feelings of, you know, obviously the Lord never lets us down, but if there's anyone who misheard or miss, you know, like I'll take the blame. I've had things that I thought the Lord promised me and I was trying to hold on to. And it's tough as especially a believer, if you're a new believer, trying to stand on the faith of God can do anything.
Right.
You're trying to learn and discern his voice. But I love that you just came to this place where you were so vulnerable with God to be able to surrender that. What a beautiful, intimate, you know, it makes me think about my husband when we got married. There's different personalities. Some people will confront you with like, hey, you did this thing. Like I had a lot of trouble talking to my husband about if anything hurt my feelings, because I just like, you know, like to shove stuff under the rug and like not have to deal with it. And so, like, because I loved him so much, for some reason, talking to him about anything that would hurt me was a battle for me to have that conversation with him. Of course, I knew his love for me, and it helped guide into some of those conversations. But sometimes I think with God, we have to be like, God, I'm hurting, and you know, it's not true that you let me down, but I feel like you let me down, and I feel like you promised me these things. So, Lord, please help me to see this promise the way you intended it, and please help me to have that right perspective. And it sounds like the Lord just so delicately did like this, like laser surgery on your heart to cut off that which didn't need to be there, and to give you this new vision. And I love that you just said, Lord, I'll mother anyone that mm-hmm. you send me, mm-hmm. and immediately, instantly gave you this heart for this woman. And like to pray, Lord, give my promise to someone else. Like, I don't know if I could do that. That's hard.
I know.
But that just tells me that the Lord, the Holy Spirit was filling you with that love for other people.
And that is true. And that's so many things. One is the Lord had shown me other things along the way where he didn't leave me and didn't mm-hmm. forsake me, and where he built trust in me. For one, my brother had gone to the Navy, and this was when there was a lot going on in the Middle East, a lot of conflict and Desert Storm. And so it was really touch and go over there. You weren't allowed to send any Christian materials to mm-hmm. that part of the world. It was not allowed. They wouldn't allow it. And so I had such a burden for my brother, and I had prayed and prayed, Lord, please just get a Bible in his hand somehow. And I was writing to him and telling him where I was reading and that I was a new Christian and what was happening in my life. And we were corresponding back and forth, but he said, no, you can't send me a Bible, all these things. One weekend, I just had such a burden. I kept saying, Lord, please, please get a Bible in his hand. He needs your word. We don't know what's going to happen over there. I got a letter the following week that said, sis, you won't believe it, the Gideons came on board our ship and they were allowed to leave us Bibles. And I'm like rejoicing all over the
That's house. Amazing.
God, I trust you. You're hearing me. And there were just so many instances where I know it was God. Mm-hmm. There's no way it was anything else. So I had, over the years, I had by then been saved for 10 years, been walking with the Lord for 10 years. And I had come to trust him. And then when I had lost the quadruplets, the Lord had spoken to my spirit, I will not leave you in a desert place.
Mm.
And I knew, I could feel all the churning. I knew I was miscarrying. I knew I was losing them. And I went to the church to pray because I didn't know what else to do. I knew that HCG levels were falling. So I knew that I was losing this pregnancy. And this wasn't one baby I was grieving. It was four all at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, Lord, I've got to have that ultrasound tomorrow. And I'm so frightened. What am I going to do?
Mm.
And he said, I will not leave you in a desert place.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, after much prayer that day, I got up and said, okay, I will face whatever's coming because I know you're with me.
Mm.
And I walked out of that room of being with the Lord, and my assistant pastor and his wife were there. And I said, could I talk to you? And told him what was going on. And she looked at me and said, do you know that all of those men had a barren wife at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will not leave you in a desert place. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three had a barren wife at one time. And she said, if the Lord promised you he's not going to leave you in a desert place, he's not.
Mm.
And I was like, that's just a confirmation to me of what the Lord just said to me.
Yeah.
And so I held on to that through all that pain. So there were many things, so that when the Lord brought me to the place where he recognized that I was able to finally lay it down and do, like you said, that laser surgery, he brought me to that place and had prepared me with many other things to where I was able to trust him enough to give him the most intimate place in my heart.
Wow. Ms. Sharon,
he gave it back.
What would you tell someone walking through right now? They're saying, you said a while ago, Lord, you're hearing me. But I've been through spots in my life that I'm like, it feels like my prayers aren't going past the ceiling. Sure. What would you tell someone who is in that place right now?
I have a couple of things. One, there will be times that heaven is silent.
Mm.
You will not be able to feel him because this is so emotional.
Mm.
That's where You have to understand that your heart can be deceitful, and not in a negative way, but your feelings can make you doubt what you know to be fact. For me, I had to believe that he was still writing my story. Mm. On the days when I couldn't feel him, my brain knows that he is real, that his promises are yea and amen, that he is faithful to what he says he will do, that he is not a God of torture. He knows the plans he has for us to prosper us and not harm us. And I would have to recite scripture. I think when you're in a good place, write down some of those scriptures on a day when it's not really hard, so that on those hard days, you can just, even if you can't bear to read those scriptures, put your hand on that notebook and go, Lord, I know who you are. I know who you are. You are not torturing me. Help me to discern your voice from the voice of the enemy that wants to bring me torment in this situation.
What about for the mama? Sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What about for the mama that's listening to your story and they say, I think that's so beautiful that you surrendered and laid down your dream, but I'm nervous if I lay down my dream of having a biological child and the Lord leads me to adoption, I'm nervous that I'm going to have to fake it, that it won't fully fulfill this deep thing that's in me. And like, how will I love them as my own? What kind of encouragement could you give to that mama?
Well, I think that is absolutely a lie that Satan would have you believe, honestly.
That's so true.
Because it is, because let me tell you, when I was in the delivery room when Noah was born, there is no way that I could love anything more or experience any more emotion than I experienced in that moment. And I have since, we have since adopted 8 more. we have 9 adopted children.
Amazing.
But as each, as each one came, the love that I have for them, I cannot believe there is a way that I could love anymore. And in fact, with that question, and I wondered that myself, when Noah was really little, I was like, Lord, I didn't know love like this was possible. And he spoke into my spirit so sweetly, I love you like that and more. And it stopped me. How can you love me like that? How is it possible? That's how we love. That's how we love. You know, we are adopted into Christ. Would we feel that he loves us any less because we aren't by nature Jewish? That we were born here, that we're Gentile? Did he love us any less? We are adopted into him. Of course not. So I think sometimes we just have to get a bigger perspective and know that if the Lord brings you a child to love, you will love them with abandon. And I think it's because the love of Christ is shed abroad in us that we're able to love like that. And when he answers a prayer for you, and you know it is, nothing's going to stop that love. There's no way you will love that child less. I just can't believe there's a greater love than I have for my children. I can't believe that that exists.
There's a scripture that talks about fathers loving their children and wanting to give good gifts. And, you know, it says, which of you, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? You know, if you ask for a fish, would give him a stone. And how much more does your heavenly father, he loves to give good gifts to his children. And that passage has been so encouraging to me to know, Lord, whatever the end of this journey is, I know that you're a God who loves to give good gifts to your children, and you don't give bad gifts. It wouldn't be a gift.
No.
Everything that comes from you is good and pleasing, and he's the perfect gift giver, so he knows. He knows exactly, and the, you know, we say if you draw near to God, then, you know, he'll give you the desires of your heart, but I think he changes those desires. He places those desires, and he can surprise you in ways that you could never imagine. Ms. Sharon, you have a beautiful testimony. We want to get into the second part of your story because not only did God give you one baby, but he brought multiple and you did fostering, adoption, but we are almost out of time. So we would love to have you for another episode next week to really dig into just the fulfillment of when you said, God, I'll mother anyone, what that practically really looked like.
That's right.
Yes, so, I would love that.
Well, we appreciate y'all listening today. I hope you stay tuned for next week's episode when we get into what the rest of her story looks like and then dig into her book a little bit because I have a feeling.
Some good gems in there.
Yeah, I was about to say, it might be a book that we need to all take a second to read to learn more about her and ourselves through that. Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you next week.